Father, we thank you. God, we're so grateful for you. God, grateful that we can sing of your praises, all the wonderful things you've done, first and foremost by sending your one and only son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins. That's why we celebrate this season. And so, Father, I pray that today as I speak, God, it's not me, but it's you speaking to your people. Father, that we will walk away from this place, God, desiring a deeper relationship with you or having a relationship with you. Lord, we love you and we thank you. It's in Jesus' name, amen. As I was preparing for this morning, I kind of start thinking back on my childhood. And if you follow me on social media, you know that I've done a number of things in my childhood that could have led to death, extremely dangerous, that involved knives, fire, jumping ramps, something to that effect. And for every young boy, the worst word that you want to hear is, don't tell mama this is happening. But I was thinking last night, and I was just kind of walking through my head, and I thought about this instance where I grew up in Jacksonville, and so there was a pool called Moncrief Street Pool. Anybody familiar with Moncrief Street Pool? Well, Moncrief Pool is in Jacksonville. It's in a kind of poor area, but during the summertime, you have hundreds of kids that are coming to swim at Moncrief Pool, and man, I mean, it's kind of built up in this area, and so my dad took us to Moncrief Pool, me and my friend. Man, we were so excited. We grabbed all of our stuff, our towels, our flip-flops, and, you know, in the 100-degree weather in Florida, we're walking up to that pool, man. We're feeling good about it. This is, like, incredible. I'm like, man, thanks, Dad, for taking us to the pool. So we get to the pool. My dad, very good swimmer, puts us on his back. He's swimming around the pool with us on his back, and I'm like, man, this is amazing. He puts us back on the side, me and my friend back on the side, and he goes to jump off the diving board. And as I see him jumping off the diving board, I'm thinking to myself, man, that looks like so much fun. And I did not know how to swim. So as I'm sitting there, I'm looking at him, I'm looking at all the rest of the people having fun. I said, I'm just going to try this out. And before I knew it, I jumped right into the pool. And when I jumped in the pool, I quickly realized that the fun those people were having and what I was experiencing wasn't the same. This is probably every parent's nightmare. As I was in that pool, I sank down, and I mean, I could just see right toward the side of the pool. And so I was kicking and frantically just moving around. And at some point, I put my hand up. And as I put my hand up, I was trying to push, and I was trying to get my mouth just close enough to the top of the water to take a breath. I was drowning. I was just frantically kicking around, just having my hand up. I could see the side of the pool, but it was outside of my reach. My friend, he could see. I could see him from beneath the water. And I don't know if you've ever been like in a near-death experience, but your mind is going through everything that you could possibly think of. It's almost like your mind has this Rolodex, and it's looking for how to swim. But it wasn't there. So I'm sitting in the pool. With my hand. And all of a sudden, my friend, he reaches out. I could see the moment he reached out his hand. And I grabbed it. He pulled me to safety. My dad never knew about this moment. Of course, my mother never knew about this moment, because she did, I wouldn't be here, and my father would have been gone a long time ago. But as I remember that story, and I think about that story, I think about the people in this room Many of you are drowning under the circumstances of life. Family issues, finances, relationships, jobs. And you thinking to yourself, Pastor Ken, I just cannot catch a break. It seems like every time I just kind of like I'm getting ready to go to the top, I just can't breathe. And I'm drowning under the stress of life. And if you're a believer, what are you to do in that moment? You know, we come to church, we hear about Jesus, we hear about his saving power, but at this moment in your life, you feel like there is no room, no help in sight for you. So what do? Well, first of all, I want to come today to encourage you. If you're in Christ Jesus, there is always help. And I want to remind you that there is no moment in your life when you are ever in danger. He's there for each and every one of us. But just like me in that pool and my mind was kind of going through that Rolodex on what to do, your mind does the same thing. As you're going through these trials of life, you start trying to figure out what can I do to get out of this. I'm thinking about friends. I'm thinking about, you know, things I used to do. And unfortunately, some people, not all people, will revert back to what they used to do rather than clinging to the cross. Well, what do you mean by that, Pastor Ken? You'll say things like, it was better when I wasn't a Christian. You know, I was having fun. I was drinking and smoking and living this wild lifestyle. And you know what? That type of thinking is not unfamiliar in the Bible. If you look in Exodus chapter 14, you look at the children of Israel, and as they were coming out of Egypt and they were preparing to cross the Red Sea on one side, Pharaoh's army on the other side, and they turned to Moses and said, it would have been better if you'd have left us back in Egypt. And sometimes that's what we think, brothers and sisters. It would have been better if I had never left the situation that I was in. This is a scripture and is not in your notes. I want you to write this down. Romans chapter 6, verse 20 through 22. This is what it reads. When you were slaves to sin, you were free from the obligation to do right. And what was the result? You are now ashamed of the things that you used to do, things that end in eternal doom. But now you're free from the power of sin and have become slaves to God. Now you do those things that lead to holiness and result in eternal life. Romans chapter 6, verse 20 through 22. Sometimes we start thinking about the old way of life, the things that used to happen, and we start getting wrapped up, and why don't I go back there? But you fail to remember what happened to you back in the old days. How you begged God and you pleaded with God, God, if you just bring me out of this situation, I promise I won't go back. But in the midst of times and terrible times in your life, the enemy brings back an inclination. Why don't you just go back? It was better back there. But as believers, there is a better life. And God has no desire for us to shrink back into the old ways of sin. I want to encourage you, stay in the fight. So today, our Bible verse will come from Hebrews chapter 10. If you could turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10. If you have an electronic device, feel free to turn there with that as well. Just make sure you have a Bible in front of you and you're looking at the words on this page. And I have to give some context before we jump right into this scripture, because the book of Hebrews is written to believers, Jewish believers, and that their faith in Jesus and the Messiah was secure and reasonable. But there were issues, tribulations, trials in their lives that caused them to question, should I do this or should I not? Should I go back to the old law or should I go with the new? And so in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 32 through 39, this is what it reads. He says this, "But remember the former days when, after being enlightened, you endured a great conflict of suffering, partly by being made a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulations, and partly by becoming sharers with those who were so treated. For you showed sympathy to prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and a lasting one." Listen to what it says. "Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him." But look at this. This is our identity. "But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but of those who have faith to the preserving of the soul." Amen. So when I'm reading the scripture, I'm looking at the words and I'm asking God questions and saying, "Lord, so what do these things, particular things mean?" And so the first word is when I look through this scripture and I'm looking at it and I'm trying to understand it, the first word that comes to mind is endure. Endure. And this word endurance means to have the ability to sustain an activity for an extended period of time. Endurance. Many of you used to have endurance. I started thinking, I said, "Lord, so Lord, if endurance is what I need," because he's clearly saying that here in the scripture, he says, "For you have need of endurance." Watch this. If you look at the scripture, he doesn't say you have need of more faith. He says you have need of endurance. Many times when we get in trouble or something happens in our life, we're thinking, "God, will you just give me more faith?" You have the faith that you need. What you need is endurance. And so as I'm looking at this word endurance and I'm thinking, "Okay, Lord, where in scripture does it say how to get endurance?" Well, it says that the Lord gives us endurance, but how does he give it? You know what the answer was? He gives endurance most times through trials. Oh, I was like, "Lord, I don't think I was ready for that one." The way that God teaches us to endure is through the trials. I'm an illustration man. I love illustrations. So when I was in the Marine Corps and I wanted to run faster, it was almost like my body had one speed. And it was always hitting that speed, Rob. I mean, I just couldn't run faster to save my life. But after I started sharing with some people, about 25 years old, probably 30, these are ankle weights. Somebody said, "Ken, go grab some ankle weights. Put them on your ankles when you're running." So all right, I'll do that. First couple weeks, man, my knees was hurting, back was hurting, feet were hurting. But something was happening in my body, very uncomfortable, but it was building the muscles in my legs so that when I took these off, it was a whole different story. Then when these got too light for me, I told my wife, baby, go buy me a weight vest. What you need a weight vest for? But I'm gonna work out in it. Weighs about 30 pounds. And I take it and I put it on, and man, my body was aching and hurting, but I put this vest on. And my time went from a 20-minute 3-mile to a 16-minute and 45-second 3-mile. Hey, if you're too old, don't be trying that right now in your life, all right? I ain't trying to take no more trips to Phoebe. But listen to the illustration here. In order to get faster, I had to put on additional weight. They're going to get it in just a second. The weight, now listen, without the weight, I would still get to the finish line. But I wouldn't finish well. So when the weight was put on, it helped to build all the necessary muscles that I needed to finish the race well. It wasn't meant to hurt me. It was meant to build me up. Some of you in here today, you're going through problems and issues in your life, and God has allowed these trials to happen in your life not to tear you up, but to make you stronger. Amen. So that when you go through, you can be able to minister to other people and encourage the saints. Some of you are wondering, God, why me? Why now? Why this situation? Why do I have to go through this? And you just don't understand. God is saying, I'm building something in you. You just don't realize it. And it's hurting. It hurts. When I put that vest on, man, it was hurting. I was like, baby, come pick me up. The vest hurts. But it wasn't meant to crush me. The vest was meant to make me stronger. Amen. So if you're in this situation today and you're in these situations of life, these trials that are happening in your life, how do you make it through this? How do you make it through without succumbing to the pressure of life? How do you make it through as a Christian? Here's your encouragement. As we look at the particular points of obtaining this endurance, we see, number one, you've got to identify the source of the trial. Identify the source of the trial. Well, let me put a little qualifier on this one. Every trial that you're going through is not given by God. Some of the trials you created. Can I tell you just a little bit? And I am not talking about anybody. I am not pulling anybody's life out of this. But you got people, and I counsel with people all the time, and somebody said, Pastor Ken, I'm going through a trial. I said, okay, man, tell me about it so I know how to pray about it. Man, my job fired me. Oh, man, I'm sorry to hear that. Well, what happened? Well, man, when I got to work, well, what time did you get to work? Well, I got there late, okay? Strike one, okay? Well, when I got to work, man, my boss was trying to tell me what to do, and so I start telling him what I wasn't going to do. Strike two, you talking back to your boss. And I start thinking, as I'm talking to him, and then I just said, look, I'm going to get me something to eat. I'm saying, okay, did you bring something to eat? No, I just went and got it out of the refrigerator. So you're stealing people's lunch out of the work refrigerator. That's strike three, you know. And so I'm listening to this, and so this wasn't a trial that was created by God. This was something that he created. And for a lot of us, the things that we're going through is a consequence of our own actions and being disobedient to God. So in that scenario, repentance is needed. God, I'm sorry. Please forgive me and turn from your ways and walk in a way that's pleasing unto the Lord. Amen? Amen. The second way, if you see this trial, this is something that you could not have done on your own, and it just happened. A loved one passed away. A spouse left you, you didn't know it. Your children were on drugs. Something happened, you lost your job, company moved, not of any of your doing, but something happened in your life. This was probably something that God has allowed to happen to you so that it can strengthen you for the journey. That's right. So you've got to identify the source of this trial. The second thing, once I identify the source, I need to look to God for strength. The primary response is to, our humanistic primary response is to look to people to help us. You're going to go to grandmama, you're going to go to your cousin, you're going to go to this person and that person and your girlfriend and your boyfriend and all this kind of stuff. And you're looking to other people to help you solve this problem. And God is like, hey, come to me. He says, come to me. If you're struggling in life, come to me. It says this in Psalms chapter 28, verses 6 through 7. Psalms 28, 6 through 7. Blessed be the Lord because he has heard the voice of my supplication. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him and I am helped. Therefore, my heart exalts. And with my song, I shall thank him. And I look at this particular song, and it tells me that the Lord provides strength when I need it. And he provides not only the strength that I need, but he also provides the protection that I need as I'm walking through trials. Number one, I'm identifying the source of my trials. Two, I'm looking to God for strength. But then number three, this is the most difficult. You've got to remain under the trial. Remain under it. When I'm running, everything, every part of my body is telling me to stop. Can y'all identify with that? Everything is telling me to stop. Hey, don't you feel tired? Yes. Don't your muscles hurt? Look at those people riding by in their car in the air condition. Don't you want to be one of them? But I've got to stay in it because I know if I stay in it, it's going to produce something. It's going to produce strong muscles and it's going to build what I need to run the race. So don't try to prematurely get from underneath the trial. If God is allowing you to go through a trial, stay in the trial. Because what it's producing is something greater than you can see. You can't understand it. You don't know why it's happening. You know, everybody else seems like they're doing well. But man, this thing feels like it's crushing you. But God is saying, stay under the trial. If I can use my son as an example. Coach told me a few weeks ago, he's starting to play basketball, and the coach told me, he said, hey, you got to stretch him out. He's growing fast. He's got a lot of ability. He says, but you got to stretch. He's got to stretch those hamstring muscles in the back. So he showed me how to do the exercise, and so I got down, and I got home with him, and Coach Roberts, I got home with him, and so he laid down, and I grabbed him by his thigh muscle, and I grabbed the top of his foot, and I pushed his leg down. I could see his face like, ugh. As a good father, I'd ease up a little bit. But then I'd push it back down. I saw the pain on his face. But as a father, I knew what it was going to produce. Got to stay under the trial because it's going to help him. It's going to hurt right now, but it's going to help. I know it is. You got to remain under the trial because us. It's producing something greater, something that we can't see.
That's right.
We've got to remain in the trial. Number four, you've got to serve others while enduring the trials. Serve others while enduring the trials. Why does this matter? Because you can be so consumed about yourself, you can forget about others. If God is allowing you to go through these trials, look to others and see what their needs were. Look in the passage of Scripture here. Look at verse 34, Hebrews 10, 34. For you showed sympathy through the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your own property, knowing that you yourselves have a better possession and a lasting one. When God is allowing you to go through these trials in your life, start looking around, taking the focus off my own situation, and saying, God, who else can I be a blessing to as I'm going through? And I'm telling you, when you do that, God gives you like this extra pep in your step. He gives you this strength that you've never had because you have now stopped focusing. You've given it to him, and now I'm focusing on his people. He'll give us what we need. But we've got to stay in the trial. Next thing, after I'm serving others, and this is what I really, really want to drive home, you need to control your emotions. When I talk about your emotions will run rampant if you allow it. And you've got to control your emotions. They are God-given. So obviously we need them, but you cannot allow your emotions to run wild. And so first, share your emotions and your pain with God. If you're going through a trial and something in your life right now, go to God and say, God, I can't take this. I need you to step in. You've got to go to the Lord, go in your secret place, find a place where it's just you and the Lord, and you're, God, I need you to intervene right now. You share these emotions. God, I'm angry with you. I'm upset that this happened. You know, I didn't expect for this to happen. Share your emotions with God. But then after that, don't hold on to them. Release them to his care. Release them. Release the situation to his care. See, this is one of the hindrances of us being able to successfully make it through a trial. Sometimes I'll go to God, but I'll never release it. In our humility, it needs to be, God, I love you. And I know you love me. God, I am overwhelmed right now. It feels like the pressures of life are crushing me, but Lord, I know you see everything. And because you're a good God, and because you're a faithful God, because I know that you're watching out for me, God, I release this situation to you in Jesus' name. Belongs to you. God, I know if I'm your child, you're going to watch out for me. So God, I trust you. Releasing the situation to God. You know, a lot of people, specifically churches, people don't come to the altar much anymore. Sometimes they think, if people see me come to the altar, they'll know I'm going through trials. Guess what? Everybody's going through trials. And the altar is a place, a significant place, symbolic, of bringing the things that I have and laying them at God's feet and saying, God, I'm leaving everything I have right here. And God, when I get up from here, I'm not picking it back up. I'm walking away from it. I'm placing my trials into the hands of a God who sees me and knows me and knows my trials. I'm sharing my emotions and releasing the situation, but then also, you need to take every thought captive after that. Because the enemy will come back. He'll try to get you to pick it up again, just like I did that little napkin. Try to get you to pick it up. Keep hitting rewind in your head. You need to take care of this. You can't do this. God has forgot about you. The Bible says, greater is he who is in me than he's in the world. The Bible says, trust in the Lord with all my heart. Don't lean on my own understanding. In all my ways, acknowledge him, and he'll direct my path. Nope, it's going to stay right there. God can handle it. He can handle it. Number six, understand that your trials will not last forever.
That's right.
Don't last forever. At some point, it's got to stop. It's one of the things that I picked up in basic training. Training was strenuous. We were getting hurt by the training. But I would keep my eye on the instructor. I say at some point he's got to stop. This can't last forever. And the hope of knowing that this has got to stop fueled me to keep going. And so if you're going through a trial, understand that this will not last forever. It's got to stop at some point. But the good news is, even better news is, if God takes us home in glory, we already have better on the other side. And then lastly, we're looking to Jesus as the example. Jesus desires to help us. He provides the example of us to walk through this. If you can write down in your notes, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. And this is what it says. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Fixing our eyes on who? Jesus, the author and the perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him, look at the word, same word, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Look at what the scripture says. For consider him who has, same word, endured such hostility by sinners against himself. Look at the result. So that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Jesus is our example. I want to prepare to close. But as I was walking through that sermon, most of you were thinking the whole time, God, if you didn't speak today, I'm going to lose it. And God has given you his word, not my words, his word to help to make it through this trial. His desire is to help you, not to hurt you. He wants to build you up and preserve your soul for something that you can't even see right now. It could be, I know it's for an eternal home, but also to help somebody else, to make it through this trial and another trial. But you got to stand up under the trials. So I want everyone in here to stand. Just go ahead and stand on your feet as we prepare to close. All over the building. The sermon is not to hurt you. God's word is to help us.
Amen.
Through the trials. Maybe you are in your life and you're just like me, and you're grasping, the altar is here for you. The Bible says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Look to Jesus. And I want to invite you, if you're really serious about saying, Lord, I need to make it through this trial. Or Lord, I've been in this trial a long time and I just need some resolution. This morning is the time. Whether you do it at your seat or you come down to the altar, today is the day that you lay down this trial. Say, Lord, I place this in your hands. You're a faithful God who loves me. And watch this. I trust you. I trust you. And so as I pray, our pastors will be at the end of the aisles. But wherever you can fit in down here, bring your trials to the altar and leave them there. Submit them to a God that loves you, who cares about you, and allow him to walk you through these moments of life. As I pray, I want you to come. Father, I thank you so much for today. I thank you for your word. Father, I thank you because, Father, you don't leave us as orphans. But Father, you are a Father who loves us and cares about us and provides Jesus as our example. And so, Father, I know without a shadow of a doubt, there are people in this room that have been holding on and holding on and holding on and looking for answers to their problems in life. And God, you're so gracious and loving. You allow us to be able to see these things in your word. And so, Father, I pray for healing. For everyone that's coming this morning, God, I pray for healing. I pray, God, that they'd be able to stand up under the trials. God, that you would give them the strength that they need. Allow them not to go back to the old way of living, but to stand up under the strength that only you provide. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We want you to come.